Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think we got a fun one coming up today. Should be a lot of fun today. I know we have R.J. Anderson today. Take two, as Matt and I were kidding each other. There was a little bit of a problem yesterday, phone-wise, hooking up with him. So, we were able to get him back on, and he's been great to deal with. There is this report that baseball, among various plans that they have, would like to be playing games in Arizona next month. Maybe later next month, but next month, May. And get the season going that way. We'll ask him about that. We'll ask him about other plans. We'll ask him about what effect it has on the minor leagues. There's a number of things we need to talk to R.J. Anderson about. Steven Gonzalez is going to join us today. The NFL draft is coming up 2 weeks from Thursday. Steven's in a position where he's probably a third-day guy or a free agent, one of the two. He obviously did not go to the combine, and just when he was about to have his pro day, everything shut down. So we're going to talk to him about his Penn State career, about what he's doing now, how he's staying in shape, interaction with other teams. There'll be a list of things we'll talk to Steven Gonzalez about. And then Lynn Shapiro from the Washington Post. Pro football has had many great players over the years. One of them was Bobby Mitchell, who played for the Washington Redskins. Mitchell was a Hall of Fame player with the Redskins and with the Cleveland Browns. They actually was in a dynamic backfield, Bobby Mitchell and Jim Brown together. And then Bobby Mitchell was dealt by the Cleveland Browns to the Redskins for what turned out to be the rights to Ernie Davis, the Heisman Trophy winner from Syracuse, who never played a down for the Cleveland Browns because of losing his battle with leukemia. Well, Bobby Mitchell not only was a great, great player with the Washington Redskins, he was a trailblazing player with the Washington Redskins. As he was the one that had to go out there along with two others, and they integrated the Redskins, the last established NFL team at that time, to be integrated. And thus he had to be the pressure of that. So we're going to hear from Len Shapiro from the Washington Post. Tomorrow, Kirk Ciarrocca, we'll hear from him, the offensive coordinator at Penn State. We got a lot going on. We got a list of things going on here. Rich Cimini tomorrow from ESPN on how they're going to do the draft. That's tomorrow. Then we got Tim Banks coming up later on Thursday. We got a defensive perspective from the safeties coach and the co-defensive coordinator. Look at Matt. I can see Matt right now with the pen. He's writing stuff down.
Exactly right.
He's right. Rich Cimini, Pampers formula. Okay. And 4:06 tomorrow, Kirk Ciarrocca.
Just call me the running hamster.
So you're going over to Wise right now, picking up all the needed supplies. Well, we're going to talk to R.J. Anderson about that Major League Baseball plan. About what they're thinking about doing or not doing. I'll say this. Yes, we are getting, obviously, tough news, you know, which was expected this week. So that's I'm truly going to see. By the way, that show on the 18th, we're going to have James Franklin on the show, and it's going to be Saturday the 18th at 1:30. And we're just now getting all the info on the show, but James is going to be on the show. So we'll have a nice one-on-one with him. And obviously, I mean, the heck, since I'm doing the thing, we can play it back later the next week, right? I think. Yeah, we can get our own one-on-one with him. Why not? So we can do that. So, I mean, we have a lot going on. And so we got Gonzalez on. I know we're still working on Charlie Casserly. I mean, the draft's not this week. We can maybe get him next week. Whatever. We're working on that, too. Every time I turn around, I'm getting a text message from Matt. Here's the latest. R.J. Anderson, 3:35 today, take two. Don't worry. I'll pick up all the Pampers and formula at the store. That wasn't meant for me, Matt. And then I know you're still working on Charlie Casserly. I know that.
Yes, and Jimmy Sotos.
Oh, and Jimmy Sotos. Good. He's going to go to Ohio State. Yeah. Going to play some ball there, which is fine. And then we'll get Kirk Schrock on tomorrow. But I wanted to get Lynn Shapiro from the Washington Post. And I want to get to, look, Lynn, 45 years covered the Redskins. 45 years. Nobody knows that franchise inside and out like he does. And by the way, do not label him a fan of Dan Snyder.
Is there any part of the Redskins media that's a fan of Dan Snyder? Let's be real here.
You know, I'm sensing no. I'm sensing no. I'll say this. Can I tell you one thing I think he did right? Dan Snyder? And maybe the players, but I don't know if they agree with it or not. He gave championship rings to the guys that were the replacements when they won the Super Bowl in 87.
Well, that's a nice gesture.
Now, I know they crossed the picket line. I got that. But if they don't go 3-0, the Redskins aren't in the playoffs, so they can win the Super Bowl. Right? And I thought that one he did the right thing on. Now, there are a lot of other things. It's a long laundry list where he doesn't really come out well, but that isn't one of them. So, Now, let's get to the story on Major League Baseball. Let's give credit where credit's due. It's Jeff Passan of ESPN. He's the one that put out the story. And as to what they're thinking, and then we'll get RJ's take on this, because obviously RJ Anderson is incredibly plugged in. He gets it. Because this would have been a day, for example, the Phillies would have been playing Toronto today, as a matter of fact, right? You would have heard, you would be listening to that game on Eagle 107, and Eagle 107 is going to be the home for the Phillies all season long. That really, that the power of the night signal of Eagle 107, really important. Really important. So once baseball does get going, that's going to be the home that you go to. So Jeff Passan puts out the story, could Major League Baseball games begin as early as May? And they say it's, and he writes, it's not out of the question. Let's go back to what we've talked about many times with sports, and this goes really with anything. You have to have a best-case scenario mapped out in terms of returning. You have to have a worst-case scenario mapped out. And you have to have a couple of other scenarios in between. So maybe this is under the category of best-case scenario, so let's see what it says. How far along are Major League Baseball and the Players Association on the possibility? One source described the idea as being in the top of the first inning with all the logistical things that need to be worked out. They said the sides had a 40-minute phone call, little details attached. Okay. There are two major factors. First, what are the state and local mandates in place at the various sites in Arizona? Then there's the collaboration between the Major League Baseball owners and the players on a proposed plan. There are a lot of players with concerns about what's being discussed, according to Buster Olney. Some privately saying that they would not participate. All right, so now that's a roadblock. How much spring training would players need after they arrive in Arizona before baseball begins? I think everybody's universal on this, 2 to 3 weeks. Especially if you're going to go 2 to 3 weeks, you would need expanded rosters. You need more pitchers. No getting around it. You know, as time goes, you can stretch them out. Is the May date we're hearing realistic or a starting point to another more likely opening day? Some club officials continue to say they believe it's more likely for baseball to return in midsummer, and only after more hard information about the coronavirus develops to best ensure the protection of player, team, and staff, according to Buster Olney. How many stadiums are there in Arizona that could possibly be used for Major League Baseball if they decide to start the season in Arizona? There are 10 spring training facilities in the Phoenix area. You also have Chase Field, the home of the Diamondbacks. Arizona State plays at Phoenix Municipal Stadium. GCU Ballpark is where Grand Canyon plays. Thus, 13 potential stadiums. You need 15 to have everybody playing the same day. Now, you could schedule day-night doubleheaders at Chase Field. In other words, the Diamondbacks play the Dodgers at 1, and it's the Tigers and the Red Sox playing at 7. Okay? They say it doesn't sound. They say there's also the old Arizona State on campus baseball stadium, which I've seen, by the way, which is Packard Stadium. That works well. It gives you 14. Of the spring training facilities, 5 are shared by 2 teams: the Dodgers and White Sox, Indians and Reds, Mariners, Padres, D-backs, Rockies, Rangers, and Royals. You would need facilities for the Florida-based teams to train at. However, to get ready for the season, that would mean using local junior college or high school fields or figuring out a way to share fields of the existing spring training complexes. The biggest logistics, not the field guys, it's the clubhouse. Okay? It's a clubhouse. Chase Field, of course, has a roof. The other spring training facilities do not. The average high temperature in Phoenix in June is, this is the average, 104. July, 106. August, 104, and 100 in September. Of course, when you play at night, it gets into the upper 70s, low 80s. Let's see. What about housing players? Hotels would be one. Obviously, they're empty right now. How many games would teams play under that plan? The best scenario in terms of complete optimism. They say it would be 116 games. You'd still get occasional days off, and you'd still have the All-Star game. Now, it's right now scheduled for Dodger Stadium. So there certainly is a lot in here, and there's a lot to talk to RJ about. Like, nobody knows how to handle this right now. Nobody. I mean, if we knew how to handle it, we'd tell you. But we're confident we don't, so we can't. RJ Anderson, next half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 to 4. 7 to 4, Monday through Friday.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 to 4. 7 to 4, Monday through Friday. And also keep in mind, you go to the Sunbury Motors website and start scrolling through the vehicles they have and the great inventory they have. With that, we bring in RJ Anderson. RJ, thanks so much. Appreciate your time, your patience as always.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start with the report that was put out by Jeff Passan about Major League Baseball. And again, you have to have a best case and a worst case and some in between. This sounds obviously like a best case about the possibility of playing games in May in Arizona. What are your sources telling you about the feasibility of that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of skepticism, which I think is warranted and I think is kind of to be expected. You know, this would be a big undertaking. There are a lot of logistical issues that would need to be worked out, and you know, frankly, it's just not clear if it's going to be feasible. So I think until it happens, a lot of people are going to presume it won't happen. And, you know, that's either fortunate or unfortunate, depending on your point of view. Obviously, we all want baseball, but we don't want to endanger people. We don't want to rip families apart or anything like that to achieve baseball. So we'll see how the next few weeks goes. But I do think that the one thing we can all agree on is that the May timeline is probably a touch too optimistic. Even if this does happen, I don't think it's going to be happening as early as May.
Is it a touch too optimistic that you could start with spring training games late in May, or at least get back to at least some semblance of a spring training in late May, but not play games until June?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably more realistic, but you know, we have to still see this thing through to the peak. And, you know, you look overseas at some of the leagues over there, including Korea and Japan, and, you know, they've had to push back. They've had to push back their original dates because of further complications. So, you know, we're still a little bit behind them in terms of when the virus hit the United States versus over there. And, you know, it's going to be a bit of a process, so I don't expect that the original date or, you know, the first expected date is actually going to come to fruition here either.
So I want to ask you about the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. How have they handled it to this point? What kind of progress have they and have they not made?
Yeah, I mean, they've actually made a good deal of progress. They're playing inter-squad games now, and if you go on YouTube, you can catch some of those teams there. And, you know, they were originally hopeful to start their season later in April, and unfortunately, you know, the Korean government also pushed back the start of schools reopening a couple weeks. So now KBO is thinking that they'll be playing in May, and, you know, they're hopeful that they can play their entire season, which is 144 games. It's a little different than what Major League Baseball does, but you know, there have been pros and cons there. Realistically, you know, they're in a relatively good spot. I think everyone here would like to see some inter-squad games being streamed featuring Major League teams, but, you know, they're not quite there where they can have a full spring training or a full regular season yet either.
How long, based on the people you've talked with, RJ, how long would it take to ramp up so you could start a season? Because I know we had Larry Anderson on the show, a week, 10 days ago. And, you know, the perspective he brought that I really liked was the fact that, look, I asked him specifically, look, you played during the 1981 strike, so you had to play and then stop. And then you had to start up again. How long did it take to ramp back up? So what's the thought process of, with today as to how long it would take to ramp back up?
You know, I think everyone gives it about a month. And, you know, that's especially with regards to pitchers because they usually use opening day and work backward to build their workloads and build up, you know, their arm strength and what have you. And what's complicated about this is that you don't really have a set date in mind. So, you know, over the winter, pitchers are thinking, okay, we have to be ready to go come March 26th. Well, there's no certainty about that now. So that just complicates it further. And, you know, to be fair, Major League Baseball could make this a little easier, perhaps cut into that ramp-up period by allowing teams to at least start the season with an expanded roster. So maybe we see teams being able to carry up to 30 players, you know, a couple of extra pitchers might change things. But if they really do these weekly doubleheaders and they really do stretch the season into November, you have to start to consider what that could do for pitchers next year. And so it's a very careful calculus that they'll have to figure out. And I would say that at this point, yeah, you have to think about a month to ramp everyone back up, but, you know, again, that could change a little bit depending on what other mechanisms baseball puts in place.
Also, what does this mean for the minor leagues? Because if you're talking about expanding rosters to 30 and you're concerned about the usual bumps and bruises of this whole thing, you need a talent pool to draw from. So what's the residual for the minor leagues as this goes forward?
You know, that's a great question, and I haven't seen that addressed. And, you know, if they do say, okay, you know, teams can have 40 to 45 players or whatever over there with, you know, 26 or 30 or whatever the number would be being allowed to dress out for an individual game, well, what happens if a team suffers 10 to 15 injuries? You know, then where do they pull from? You know, are they going to keep minor leaguers, you know, playing at their spring training facilities or on a backfield or something? I really don't know because I haven't seen that proposed. And, you know, I'm starting to think that maybe there won't be a minor league season and they will try to get through this year with just, you know, those 50 to 60 or however many players they're allowed to carry as like a taxi squad plus active roster situation. So I think there are a lot of logistical issues, and I think that's one of the biggest.
Obviously, here where we are, and we've addressed this before about obviously the cut line of 120 teams. And my understanding was is that when things were normal and we weren't that concerned about this back in February, that there had been some progress in Major League Baseball had backed off the 120 number. Okay, so for 42 communities, that sounded like it was at least a glimmer of light. What has this done to their thinking about the future of minor league baseball?
Well, I can tell you that basically everyone I talked to in the game over the past week plus thought that reducing the draft was kind of tipping Major League Baseball's hand, that they do intend to go forward with cutting off those 42 teams. And, you know, it's not hard to see the logic in that. If you have fewer rounds in the draft, then you need fewer players, you need fewer players to fill out roster spots. And if you need fewer roster spots, well, you really need those short season affiliates or some of those lower rookie ball level affiliates. So that's the expectation. Now, you know, things can change. Who knows? Maybe Major League Baseball comes out of this seeing the light and seeing the value that those teams can bring to their local communities. But you know, ultimately baseball is a business. They're very upfront about that, and I would be surprised if they have a change of heart about that, if the potential to cut those teams is on the table after all is said and done.
So now, RJ, I want to ask you about the players, because Tony Clark said, hey, the players are aching to play. But that can't be universally true. Are there some players that are concerned about coming back too soon because they're concerned about safety?
Oh, there has to be, right? I mean, you know, these guys are human beings at the end of the day, and a lot of them have families, and a lot of them have younger families, and I don't think that any of them want to encounter this virus. I think, you know, you look around, there are enough signs that this is a very bad virus, and, you know, you don't want to expose anyone you love to it. You don't want to be exposed to it yourself, and, you know, I think that they also are probably cognizant of what happened in the NBA where, you know, Rudy Gobert caught it and gave it to some teammates, and there were other instances in the NBA where teammates caught it, and you don't want to be the one who spreads it around the clubhouse for the same reasons as not spreading it to your family. So I think that there are a lot of logistical issues, you know, testing-wise, how often are they going to test? How accurate is it? You know, there's some room for error in these tests. So, you know, there's just a lot of confidence issues and a lot of uncertainty, and I don't really know how Major League Baseball and the Players Union will come to an agreement on that quickly, and I don't really know if they're going to be able to find an agreement that works for everyone. So, yeah, I would absolutely expect players to push back on that a little bit, especially if you have another issue, a health issue. You know, I mean, not all these guys are 100% perfect health with no underlying issues. So
right.
You don't want to expose yourself to something that could, you know, potentially cost you your life just to play a baseball game.
Exactly. Is one of the bigger concerns, say, for example, this plan starts to come into play and you've got, I think there are 14 legitimate places they can play in Arizona. So let's just stick there for a moment. Is part of the issue with this, if you're going to be keep changing over the clubhouse all the time, is the clubhouse the biggest issue? I mean, trying to keep that sterilized all the time?
Yeah, I think that's one pretty big issue. And, you know, on top of that, where are you going to put everyone? You know, you have to be very careful about where you're housing them and who you're allowing to have contact. And, you know, the training rooms, I mean, you know, there's a lot of complications there. So, yeah, I think how you go about sanitizing the clubhouse and making sure that, you know, that doesn't spread there between multiple teams throughout a day or throughout a week or what have you is a big issue.
Okay, so in the people you've talked with, is there any sense from anybody in any plan of somehow getting people back in seats? Because we know that's 30% of the money that Major League Baseball makes. I mean, obviously they want to do it, you know, sooner rather than later. But any sense as to when they could get out of an Arizona situation and then maybe get to something that's at least more normal? Or is Korea going to be the one that tells everybody what a timetable is?
You know, I think it's going to come down to Korea. You know, most of the people I talk to are far from medical experts, and they're just going to listen to the medical experts. And if that means having to play the entire year without fans, then that's something they have to do. And you know, ultimately, this is an issue bigger than baseball or any professional sport. You know, it's a matter of, you know, not just American lives, but lives across the world. So you don't want to be careless with this. You want to get it right. And that means having to forego that gate revenue. Then I think they're going to be willing to do that. The question is whether they're going to also be as willing to forego the television revenue or if they'll take risk with the players in order to cash in on that front.
Yeah. It's interesting with all of this. When the people you've talked to, for the most part, how are executives doing with this? These are not obviously easy decisions. So how are they handling it in your regard?
I mean, if we're talking about on a team level, I think that there's been some, you know, strong signs of leadership. I mean, for instance, Sean Daniels of the Texas Rangers had his salary cut along with the other high-ranking members of the Rangers. And, you know, they haven't announced any layoffs, and they haven't seemingly been tied to any layoff murmurs, so I think that's, you know, a positive. But there are other teams out there that are unfortunately sending issues to their scouts. And, you know, they might have to furlough them after this month, you know, once we get into May. And, you know, stuff like that, unfortunately, is going to be more commonplace than you think. And, you know, not everyone in baseball, in fact, most people who work in front offices are not making, you know, millions of dollars or anything like that. We're really talking about a bunch of people who work in the game because they love the game, and they've been gifted with this opportunity. So unfortunately, there are going to be a lot of, everyday working people who suffer through this, who happen to have worked in baseball. But, I think on the whole, this is a very difficult situation. And, I would say that there have been positives and there are going to be negatives. And, that's kind of normal in baseball, right? And normal in basically every industry. There are positives and negatives, and you show up that the positives outweigh the negatives at the end of the day.
What is there a minimum number in the people you talk to, RJ, that thinks that a minimum number is a legitimate season to play?
There hasn't been, but I haven't really asked on that. My assumption is that 80-something games is probably the minimum they would go, just because then you could presumably beef up the postseason a little bit, maybe add a team or two, and it would get you basically half a season. You would have those extra spots in case the team stumbled that we knew was good. And say, for instance, the Dodgers somehow finish in second place in the National League West. I don't know, maybe they get an extra wild card spot or what have you. But my guess is if you get past 80 games, if we get past August without it starting, then we're just not going to have a season. And I know people love number 162, and I get it, but I would say that if we get an 80-game season, you have to be happy with that because, one, it means baseball, and two, it probably means we're doing better as a country and as a species with this virus.
Exactly. I know a concern, this will be the last question I get to, RJ. I know there's a concern with the NBA that they've openly talked about, that, hey, we play and keep going and going, and now it's August, September. Now am I jeopardizing what next season looks like? Have I now overextended my players and now we're going to start back up right away? Is there a time where Major League Baseball is concerned about when they end a season because it then affects 2021?
Yeah, I think there has to be. And, I've been told there's no way this is going to stretch into December. I know that Scott Boras had floated the idea of, having the World Series played around Christmas, but that's not going to happen. You would have to basically delay next season or just completely reimagine the baseball season, and I don't think that that's on the table. So if we get a baseball season, it's going to end in October or November. That includes the postseason, and that'll be that. And, even stretching it in November, there could be some carryover effects to next season. So I really do hope they're careful in that, and I hope that they don't make a reckless decision to chase money that ends up costing us a lot of arm injuries and other health woes.
Well, the most important item for us in this entire interview is that I want you to stay safe, okay? And that's the most important part.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Thank you, RJ. Appreciate your time very much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
RJ Anderson, CBS Sports. All right. Coming up next half hour, Steven Gonzalez. Came back last year to play football for the Nittany Lions, and he turned in a really good season. But now, like everybody else, he plays the waiting game with draft day or the draft weekend, still two weekends away. We'll hear from him next half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Yeah, a lot of questions that it's really hard to answer these questions. RJ did a great job with it. But, Jeff Passan of ESPN put out the report, and now people are saying, hey, well, that's really optimistic. Well, yeah, it's really optimistic, all right. The question is whether it's realistic. And I know that even though we've had, it was expected to be a bad day today with numbers. France had a record number. New York City, a record number. But there it seems to be a sense that in many areas that we're starting to reach an apex. Okay. And if that's true, that means there's then the possibility that you now take it and start taking the curve, and after flattening it, then you start to level off and head down. This is always going to go back to something I've talked about several times since all of this began, and it's always worth noting. We talk about this all the time as an expression when we're talking about when to play a young athlete. And it's also the same thing when you're talking about an injured athlete. You'd rather play them a game too late than a game too early. So, as I mentioned with this, you want to err on the side of caution and start, just for the sake of argument, a week too late versus a week too early. I think it's just common sense. And there's no question that those in Major League Baseball want to get back to playing. No question. Nobody doubts that. The owners want to get back to playing, obviously. There are a lot of players, not all. All right, now let's not sit here and pretend it's this gung-ho where, you know, all 100%. As RJ said, look, they're humans. They got wives, kids, you know? I mean, they've got families. And there'll be some people that are reluctant if they think it's too soon. But it sounds like, for the most part, the players want to get back and play. Is there any doubt that as a viewer or a listener, whether it's on the Phillies on Eagle 107 or watching games on TV, would you watch? Of course you'd watch. No, there's no doubt about that. Would you listen? Of course you'd listen. Listen to Scott in L.A. With the game. So, I mean, that part, we know would happen. You just want to make sure that when you do it, is it safe to do it? And here's the other part. There is that fine line. Excuse me. And I believe in the Korean baseball organization, the KBO, that if anybody associated with the game has a positive test, manager, coach, trainer, player, umpire, whatever, they have to shut it down for 14 days. So there's this fine line in all of this. But as you know, I've always been a one step at a time guy. And we're in this step right now. And this step is starting in certain areas, not all, but certain areas to maybe show a flattening of the curve. That's at least bears some optimism, but we're still just in this step. I think you can realistically start talking about other steps when we're seeing a true downturn in what's going on. Then I think you can really then address other steps.